We kind of needed that, you know what I'm saying? I needed him to be the bad guy, the tough guy.
You couldn't make a damn jump shot all night long. You made one, didn't you?
1 for 7.
I feel bad for you, dog. Your cat's sick, go home and feed it. Marina cat towel.
You know, Scott got a great personality. He took it like a man. He embraced it.
Scott Burrell is an 8-year NBA veteran, 1998 NBA champion, featured all over The Last Dance, episodes 7 and 8, as Michael Jordan was writing him, and Scott Burrell joins us now. How are you, Coach?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining me. Did you enjoy last week as we enjoyed last week and the entire run for The Last Dance?
I did. I've enjoyed every episode, and I finally got some good news, and Michael said some good stuff about me, so I enjoyed it, and Pip jumped on it, too, so I enjoyed 7 and 8, definitely.
Well, you seem like a happy guy. You came off on those episodes like, you know what, this happens, I'm just happy, I'm positive, and that came out.
Yeah, I was happy to enjoy going to work every day and to get better. To help a team win a championship for 3 in a row and 6 out of last 8 years. I enjoyed every bit of it. I had to learn. I mean, Michael mentioned something in the movie video in the documentary about me gaining focus and could be a better player. I needed that. Like, some people don't understand. If you're playing the other teams and you're doing fine and everything's going great and your superstars are teaching you what they know, and then you get traded to a team that has the best players in the world, the best coaching staff, and you learn something differently, it's totally different. It's growth, and I needed that.
Right. Well, you were the new guy in the 97-98 mm-hmm. season. You walk onto a team that has won 5 championships. You're playing with the greatest player in the game, if not ever. What mm-hmm. was it like on your first day?
I was nervous. I didn't want to hurt Michael. And then he calls me out while we're stretching about, "Hey, Scott Burrell," which I don't know why he used my full name, and every time he said my name, "Hey, Scott Burrell, you thought the best part about your trade was you don't have to play me 4 times a year, but now you got to deal with me every day." So right there, I knew I was in trouble.
Scott, was there a bigger trash talker than Michael Jordan?
Yeah. I think MJ talked, but usually people talked before he did, which is a mistake because it fired him up. And he was more of a coach than a trash talker. But, I mean, once he started going, he would trash talk. But, yeah, there were some bigger trash talkers than MJ.
Well, you walk into a situation, it's the mm-hmm. end of a dynasty. Michael, Phil, Scotty, Dennis, they're all probably gone at the end of the season. And I'm watching this, and I'm angry. You're in the middle of this season knowing that this is it. This is your last mm-hmm. chance right here. Well, not your last chance, but this is the last chance to play with Michael Jordan because that's it.
Mm-hmm.
What is going through your mind?
The same thing you said. It's my last chance to win a championship. I mean, because people don't understand. You got to be in the right place, right time. You got to stay healthy. So many things have to go right to win a championship. And like you said earlier, like you just said, I knew it could be over. And for those other guys who won 5 out of 6 or 3-2 in a row, it might be different for them.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't feel the pressure of winning because they've already done it and they know how to do it. For me, it was the pressure of learning how to win a championship, and then finally doing it. So I had extra pressure on that. Plus, not being comfortable with the team, not knowing everyone, not knowing the offense. It took me a little time to get comfortable with that.
Well, there was that scene in practice when Jordan was yelling at you about attacking a double team or something about that. How intense was he in practice?
Oh, he's coach on the court every time. I don't know why I said double team. I just should have said I don't know the offense because that's the reason why I stood there with the ball. Because I saw the two guys cut first, and I'm like, what's the next step of this offense? And by that time, I knew the shot clock was going. I had to get rid of it. So, first of all, no one's coming to double team me on the block. So I don't know why. That's the first thing that came to my mind.
But was Michael pretty intense at the practices? Because they say practice was just as intense as the games.
Practice was harder than the games because he pushed. He pushed you and made sure you knew what your job was. You had to do your job at the best of your ability, be the best version of yourself. And if you didn't, I'm coming at you. That's what his mindset was every day.
Right. We're talking with Scott Burrell, the former Chicago Bull and current head coach at Southern Connecticut State University. There was a scene, I think it was last week, where Michael got emotional and had to stop the segment because he was watching his teammates talk about him. Judd Bushler saying that he was terrified of Michael. Will Perdue saying that he wasn't a nice guy. What were you thinking when you saw that scene?
That's everyone's opinion. I think they all love Michael. I think they all thank Michael for what they've done for him. But I think Michael's driven to want to do one thing, win. And he might have thought that he hurt those guys, maybe mentally. And when there was guys were saying that, and he's a very nice guy, but he's driven to win on the court, and he has to win at all costs. And it might have took a little toll when he heard those guys say that stuff. And but you know what? There's not one person that didn't benefit from playing with Michael or being a part of Michael.
Well, right. I was here in 98, and I went to a lot of those games in the 90s. Jordan raised everyone's game. That's what he did.
Oh, yeah. 100%. He raised everyone's game, raised everyone's their pocketbooks for the most part as well, or their pockets. Not pocketbooks. Maybe some pocketbooks, but most pockets. He did a lot for a lot of people. But he got them. Think about it. People, when they go play Chicago, they're not saying, I'm playing Chicago Bulls and Scottie Pippen or Scott Burrell or Steve Kerr or Judd Bushler. They're saying, I'm going to Chicago to kick Michael Jordan's butt. Then MJ knew that.
Right.
We all knew that. So that's why he pushed us to be better, so it would help him. So he didn't have to carry the whole load every time. If we did our part, it just makes his job a little bit easier.
And, Scott, everyone on the planet knew that this was it. This was it. So they wanted to come to Chicago and beat Michael Jordan. We knew that Jordan was taking the Bulls, and he was going to win. It was his mission to win that championship in 1998.
So true. It was mission. He was angry with the situation of maybe this being the last season of the year, the Bulls being together after winning 5 out of 7. He wanted to win this to see what they would do, put more pressure back on them. He wanted to win it for his own legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, he's driven to walk off the court being a champion the last time he steps on, every time he steps on the court. So
Right. That's
what he wanted to do one more time in Chicago.
Scott Burrell, you're a head coach at Southern Connecticut State University. Tell me what it was like playing for Phil Jackson, and do you take some of those characteristics and use that in your coaching today?
I do. Phil was a great coach of personalities, great X's and O's, great. You were able to talk to Phil like just forget about basketball, a regular person. He would talk to you about anything. And I do carry that stuff over, but today's players are so tough to give. Like, you give them an inch today, nowadays, they'll take a mile.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough to use his tactics. Like, I can recall, like, one time we went to Orlando. I think it was in the video, too, in the episodes. He gave us a day off in Orlando. Everybody just forget practice, no practice day. But everybody knew. We enjoyed ourselves, but
right.
Everybody knew. We better win. We better be ready for shoot around the next day, and we better win for Phil and obviously for each other. If you do that today, kids are like, I deserve this. I mean, I deserve a day off. It's about time you gave us a day off. I mean, they don't understand the responsibilities that come along with having a day off and doing your job that your scholarship's paying you for, taking care for.
Yeah.
And kids don't understand that, I think.
Well, I know that you were in it at the time, but as a fan and I'm watching and I'm thinking to myself, we all knew that you were the superior team in the NBA and you guys were on a mission. And I felt like whatever Phil said, you were going to listen, but we all had the same goal. It sounds odd. I'm trying to communicate it with you, but we all knew that you were going to win and you could do whatever you want. I mean, take Dennis, for example. You played with Dennis Rodman for the first time, 97-98 season. Dennis, there was a guy that worked for the Bulls that used to go wake him up because he was always late for practice, right?
Oh, he was late a few times, yeah. I mean, but Dennis gave it everything he had. I mean, he watched so much film. He did so much cardio. He lifted weights.
Right.
He was a beast at practice, but he did his job to the best of his ability. And Phil knew how to coach him.
Right.
If Phil gave him an inch, Dennis would come back and repay Phil with great effort. So, I mean, that's the way it was back in the day. I'm not sure if it's the same, if it's like that now.
But it's funny how Dennis went to Las Vegas in the middle of the season. You know?
Yeah. I think it's hilarious. Number one, I never knew he went to Vegas. I think it was even more fun. I played it on the team, and I think probably half the guys on the team didn't know. Because he would miss practice every now and then, but I didn't know he went to Vegas. But you know what? It worked. It worked for him. It worked for Phil. It worked for the team. He blew off some steam, enjoyed himself, and came back and did his job. Probably got 25 rebounds the next day he got back.
Scott Burrell on the phone with us for a few more minutes. Scottie Pippen and Jerry Krause didn't like each other the final season. Scottie was very bitter. What was it like playing with him that final season?
I love Pip. I think Pip is so underrated. Pip can do everything. He can play defense. He can score. He can shoot. He's a great passer. There wasn't anything that Pip could do. I think people overlook him so much when they talk about great players because he played with Michael. But people don't look at the stats that he put up the year and a half that Michael retired.
Oh, yeah.
It was unbelievable the year he had. And if you do that, he could have, obviously, if Michael was there all the time, he probably could do that more. But he sacrificed his game and a little bit of his game for the betterment of the team rather than himself. And people overlook that all the time.
They were one game away.
And can I say one to say, too?
Yeah.
He also played in an era where there was no social media where he can get hyped up and people can give him a brand. Like, if you think about it, the only person that had a brand back then was Michael Jordan.
You're right.
And nowadays, everybody's given a brand and everybody's given a social media platform where their game might be as good, but their platform is bigger to make them even a better, bigger player.
And what people don't know, they see, you know, they remember 94. By the way, they were one game away from the NBA championship in 94 without Michael. But people are still bitter that Scottie sat on that bench and didn't get up and Tony had the last shot. Okay, we get it. We understand that. But
yeah.
Pip in real life, and I've had a few encounters with him, he is the nicest, most down-to-earth guy. He's just so sweet.
He is a great guy. He is down-to-earth. Last time when Michael rode me, Pip would be there, the one that, you know, picked me back up and was like, don't worry about it. You know, just focus on what you got to do. Just be prepared and do your job better. That's all. Pip was always there to, him and Ron Harper were always there to help me out a little bit.
Right, right. And I want to play something for you that was on last week's episode, which was my favorite scene so far in the series. Here it is.
A lot of people backed down the bike. I didn't. I made it a point. I said, just tire him out. You just got to tire him out.
Hitting him and banging him and hitting him and banging him. It took a toll on Mike. It took a toll, and then resting him a little bit, and then the series changed. And I wish I could have did it earlier. I don't know if the outcome would have been different, but it was a difference. and beating him down a little bit.
The glove. I had no problem with the glove.
I love that scene when he's looking at
awesome.
The iPad. Yes, I mean.
Yeah, it's awesome. Anytime he looked at the iPad or the whatever app or the tablet, it was going to be something funny. So anytime he looked at that tablet, you were going to get a laugh out of it.
Definitely so. You know what's great about
this? I just understand.
Well, you played when you played with Michael, but I we've seen Michael through the media, but we're seeing the human side of him at home, and having him respond to those iPad videos are the best.
Oh yeah, I just think you hear him being open. Honest, abrasive. I just think you're getting the real Michael off the court because he doesn't do a lot of interviews. And we should appreciate what we're getting because as players, you see it. But the normal folk of that are NBA fans or people that don't watch basketball that much don't get to see this of Michael. And it's great to see him open, take down his walls, and just let people hear what motivated him, what made him great. Why he played the game the way he did and why the way he acted. I love it.
Yeah, we had Bob Costas on earlier, and we talked about how the 90s NBA is so different than the NBA of today because it was so much harder to win or keep those players on your teams. Now players just jump from team to team. There's no loyalty.
There's no loyalty, and they play with their friends now because they get paid big money. And they want to make their job easier. So if you have three stars on your team and everybody's getting 50, 35 million, something like that,
right?
Your job is easier. You don't have to carry the rest of the guys who aren't as good as you.
Yeah.
But that's what's hurting the NBA. I mean, you can say at the end of the season, before the season started, there's six teams that have it. Well, let's be honest. There's probably five teams or four teams that have a chance to win a championship. All the other teams fill the schedule right now. And it wasn't like that back in the day. I mean, you had dominant teams, but friendships didn't put those teams together.
No. I mean, Michael Jordan and Patrick Ewing weren't friends, or Reggie Miller wasn't friends with Michael Jordan, and I certainly wouldn't play together. I don't think Jordan would do that today if he was playing today.
No.
Too much of a competitor.
And that's why the Greek Freak, it's so true, and that's why I love the Greek Freak. Like, they ask him why he doesn't work out with those guys. And he's like, I want to beat them. Why would I want to be friends? I'm going to work out with them because that's a real competitor.
You're right.
Yeah, I love that. And that's what it's about. It's about competing at the highest level. And you can be friends after a season. You guys make a lot of money. You can hang out after a season. But during the season, compete against each other as hard as you can. And competing doesn't mean scoring, then you come back and me scoring. Mm-hmm. Competing means dominate your opponent at both ends of the court.
Right. You know, LeBron started this, but I think people look at Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is the guy that wanted to win a championship, and he went to play in Golden State, and he got it. So,
but I think they all do it now. I think LeBron started, but I think they all do it. I mean, they talk about it. They're all friends. They play AAU together now, and it just carries over to the later in life for these guys now. So it's hard to stop now because it's going to keep going, and I think it just hurts the NBA a little bit.
Right. I agree with you. Scott Burrell, thank you for coming on. Are you excited about the last two episodes tonight?
I'm excited, but I'm sad. I mean, you know, I have something to look forward to. And then also, no one's going to call me anymore to do interviews. I'm sad. This might be my, I think tomorrow, Tuesday, might be my last set of interviews now. Makes me real sad.
You know what? It's funny. When did we talk? On Friday, I called you, and after about 10 minutes talking to you on the phone, I'm like, Scott, we're ruining good material. I don't like to talk to people before an interview, having them on the radio, because I want it, you know, organic, and I want it to be real.
But yeah.
I have your cell phone number, and I will absolutely call you. Definitely.
Okay, sounds good. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. So at least I have one more in the future.
You got it. Scott Burrell, thank you, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
That is Scott Burrell, former Chicago Bull, won a championship on that 98 season, and of course the head coach at Southern Connecticut State University.